702 and Cape Talk.
Book of the Week.
Well, it is Thursday, and on Thursdays, we do interview the author of a local non-fiction book. And today, the book is called Rich Picking Out of the Past. It comes from the judge, Bernard Makgabo Ngwepe. He was the judge president of Gauteng for many years. He has since retired, but he is currently South Africa's tax ombud. He's the chairperson of the Appeals Board of the Council for Medical Schemes, the chairperson of the Appeals Panel of the South African Press Council, the chairperson of the Final Appeals Committee of the Advertising Regulator Board of South Africa, and also the independent head for the investigative units at Cricket South Africa. So various titles being held there. The book looks at history. It looks at past events. It looks at experiences, national, international, and it looks at what lessons we can learn from the past. And as the book says, tragedies happen again and again because we fail to learn from the past. It's rich with valuable lessons, rich pickings indeed. And Judge Ngwepe has made the point that this is not an autobiography, but an autoethnography, he says. It's a thoughtful collection of anecdotes and reflections from his life. So a great pleasure today to welcome Judge Bernard Ngwepe to the Midday Report. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you and to our listeners.
Well, thank you very much for joining us joining us to speak about your book. As I said, it's not an autobiography. There are lots of anecdotes there. You are reflecting on your life and various chapters of your life. You described it as an autoethnography. Why did you decide to write this book?
I wrote this book because I think many South Africans will, if they were to be honest with themselves, will have to accept that we are not where we thought we would be in 1994. A lot of things have gone wrong, and a lot of things need to be corrected. And it may very well be from another perspective that this book sort of dovetails with the report by Chief Justice Zondo, which clearly shows that a lot of things have gone wrong. And the book simply asks the reader, or the reader may well say, well, what should we do in light of the situation in which we find ourselves? The book will then say, look into the past. Look into the past. If you were to look into the past, there are valuable lessons which you can learn, from which you can then put a number of things right in the country.
And as you say, you referenced the Zondo Commission report there. You do examine some of the fundamental problems of South African society. What for you were then some of the key lessons that the past has offered us?
One of the lessons that the past, which has been quite generous, and I describe the past as one of the greatest teachers, because the past never lies. History never lies. The past is always accurate, and that is why it's such an important source of lessons. If you were to go back there, you'll find an amazing level of commitment on the part of many South Africans, white and black, men and women, their commitment to defeat apartheid. Some of them were prepared to sacrifice their lives, and indeed did sacrifice their lives. What for? They sacrificed their lives in order to make this country a better place. What better commitment can you get from a people, better than when people are prepared to lay down their lives to make the country better? We haven't learned anything from them. If anything, we've abandoned some of the values that guided those people, the bigger pictures which those people had, the picture of a better democratic, non-sexist South Africa, in which poor people would find some place in the economy of the country. Mm. Have the people found any space in the economy of the country? No. And that is not because this is a poor country. This is not because the country does not have resources. It is simply because we failed to learn from the past to say you can do so much with so little to provide for your own people. We failed to do that. And I believe that in a way we have betrayed those who have sacrificed, not only South Africans, but even frontline states. People were prepared to support our cause, and they suffered from the wrath of apartheid regime, SACA were prepared to make sure that they supported our struggle in order for our country to be better. We have betrayed the sacrifices of so many people. Now, if you go back, that you will also find that, for example, notwithstanding the horrible system of Bantu education, black people rose and attained certain heights, and they succeeded. Now, we lack that kind of commitment. If students of today, for example, were to go back and consider circumstances under which previous generations studied but still nevertheless excelled, they will realize that they've got a lot to learn.
Indeed. One of the chapters that you focus in on is the transformation of the judiciary and of the criminal justice system. In fact, the way you describe it in the book is that you say that many or most South Africans felt like they did not own the justice system and identify with it. And what I found so intriguing was, in a way, you demystify the justice system and the judiciary, because it's not often that we get to see beyond the mystique, because you do share anecdotes and your experience of what it was like to be a judge, and I found that particularly intriguing.
And you know what, the reason I do that, I'm trying to show the centrality of the role that the judiciary plays in a constitutional state, the importance of the judiciary, and by making the judiciary accessible to people, you demystify it. You remind people of the importance of the judiciary, and that it is the last line of defense that we can rely upon. And therefore, we should not make it a business to undermine the judiciary, to delegitimize the judiciary. The whole purpose in transforming the judiciary is to make it credible so that people can rely on it and believe in it, in order for it to effectively protect us.
Right, and we have
maintain the rule of law,
and we have seen of late over the past few years several attacks on the judiciary. We see the attacks now on the Chief Justice, in fact, because of his investigation into corruption. And you make the point that should not be happening.
Yes, and of course I make it quite clear that there's nothing wrong in criticizing judgments, but do so from an informed position, because we need to debate some of the judgments as to whether they're correct or wrong and the like, but we can do that without undermining the judiciary as an institution. It's one thing to criticize some of the judgments that you're not happy with, but it's a completely different thing to undermine the judiciary as an institution.
Mm.
If you undermine the judiciary as an institution, then you're going to create problems, because the judiciary plays an important role in a democratic setup like ours.
Judge, thank
you. Nobody's saying the judiciary should not be criticized.
Indeed. Judge, thank you very much. I've loved chatting to you, and congratulations on the book. It's an important contribution, and thanks for your time today on the Midday Report.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye.
That's Judge Bernard Ngwepe. He is the former judge president of Gauteng. He's the current tax ombud as well. The book is called Rich Picking Out of the Past by Judge Bernard Makgabo Ngwepe. And it really is. It's fascinating. It covers so many past events. It looks at the past, what experiences, what lessons can be learned from the past, and the rich pickings we can take from the past in search of some of those lessons that he says, regrettably, we failed and continue to fail to learn.